Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, does an old creepy cellar hold more than just spiders and darkness? A 1940s home holds more than just the character, but rather characters of a bygone era. And a job interview turns paranormal for one woman whose life was changed forever.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is your phone number. You can always email your story into us, your audio file. If you're recording on your smart device, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Go to our website. Write it in if that's your choice of sending in the story. realghoststoriesonline.com is the website for that. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you. Once again, I have to say, I always have to spell out Tony, T-O-N-Y, just because I know there's like a gazillion different ways of doing it. But I'm always kind of amazed at how many different ways I will get like an email and how it will be spelled.
You're not a T-O-N-I, obviously.
No. But I get that sometimes. I get T-O-N-E. And I've seen some other very creative variations of it. And I'm like, how did you even get there? But I'm not really surprised because I've in the last week, I wish I had the example in front of me, but there were some other names, like very basic names that we're used to seeing, like Philip, and there was a Michael, but they were spelled in such strange ways. I'm just like, did your parents hate you, or like what was the deal? Like why did they do this to you? And I'm not against being creative, but the thing is, in just functioning in life, if it's easy for people to pronounce your name, see your name, read your name, it's a positive. It shouldn't be, you know, right. A very difficult factor, because people will pass it over if it's
in
difficult.
Every important event in your life,
yeah,
you'll be sitting there waiting for your name to be called incorrectly.
Exactly.
Because that's what happens.
I've dealt with that too, and it's like, why? Yeah, I don't know. Especially when you have a choice on your first name. Go with the easy. Go with simple if you're naming children, because otherwise they're in for a world of hurt.
But Tony is pretty simple.
It is. I'd say the craziest name I've ever seen, and this actually happened back there, and I won't say the event, I won't say what it was, but it was on a list of names of stuff that we had for something. And the children's names that were on this thing were literally, phonetically, if read out loud, would have said orange jello, yellow jello, and green jello. But it was enunciated differently if you put the syllables, but it all ended in jello.
And I was, no.
Yes, it was right outside the studio was that card. And I was like, oh my God, why?
Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. Okay. A funny one, because I meet a lot of country artists.
Yeah.
And one of them came through, and they do, like, when they're up and coming, they stop by the radio station and play a few songs. And this guy was pretty established at that point. I won't say who it was, just in case. But so he's at a meet and greet, and he goes to sign something, and this woman's like, sign this for my baby. And that happens all the time. Like, people will want something signed for their one-year-old. It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Your one-year-old doesn't care. He's like, sure, what's her name? Famali. And so he's like, Famali, that's an interesting name. And he goes, yeah. She says, yeah, when they brought the baby to me. Like, I can't even say that. When they brought the baby to me in the hospital and on her little wristband, it was already there. So I was like, okay. And he's like, Famali was on her wristband? But how do you spell it? F-E-M-A-L-E.
Oh, my God.
So, the woman thought the hospital had named her baby.
And she was cool with it. She's like, that's how it works.
No, you just had a girl. That's all your hospital was trying to tell you. But she named her child Famali.
Oh, God.
Oh, that makes me laugh to this day.
That poor child.
That child doesn't have a chance with a mom like that.
Oh, that's just no. So sad. That poor child. I mean, it's going to swing one of two ways. Either it's going to be just a repeat of the mom, or she's going to be really smart and by like the age of five have completely outsmarted the mom and be like, I'm out. I'm
go- oh, please let her be that little 5-year-old.
Exactly. Exactly. And then when somebody's asking her at like 12, like, so how did you end up here? Like, well, to start out, then she'll tell that story. My mom didn't understand that the hospital doesn't name you, and she thought my name was Famali. So do I need to continue on?
I go by my middle name now.
Exactly.
Famali. It was like probably Famali April or something, like your birth month. Yeah, or
my middle name, room 322, you know? Oh, gosh, that's, wow. Not surprising, but wow. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our first letter says, hi, guys. Love your podcast. My name is Beverly, and I'm from Northern Illinois. The story is from when I was probably around 9 years old. I spent a lot of time at a family friend's house as a child. She was 2 years older than me, and we were the best of friends. On this day, her stepfather was at work, and so was her mother. We were home alone. It was late afternoon, right around the time where her stepdad would come back. We were in the basement, which is where her bedroom was. The cellar only had 2 finished rooms, and they were continuing to renovate the basement, so it was still pretty creepy. She and I had the door open, and we were playing dolls. We'd heard the front door open and assumed it was her stepdad. The dogs barked and were crazily going nuts upstairs as the footsteps made their way across the wooden floors. The steps were cumbersome, which didn't really bother us. Her stepdad wore steel-toed boots, so we thought nothing of it. She called out to him saying, hello. We continued to play. Footsteps made their way down the stairs to the basement, which were wood at the time, so they were very loud. She called out again, and no one had answered. So her and I got up to look out the door when a man who seemed to be at least over 6 feet tall walked past the door. We didn't see a face. The only thing her and I could remember was the fact that he was wearing a long, dark coat. We stood petrified as he made his way down the hallway, paying no attention to us as he disappeared through the wall at the end of the hall. After he disappeared, we slammed her door shut, locked it, turned the lights off, and hid under blankets, crying until her stepfather had come home and was looking for us. The house before my family friends bought it was entirely trashed. Windows had been broken, graffiti all over the walls. Kind of seemed like a place where meth addicts would live. I believe since they had been renovating the house, they disrupted something that had once lived there. The home is beautiful now, though, and there really hasn't been any other activity other than the creepy feeling in the basement. It's my story. I do have a few others, but this was the most vivid encounter I have ever had. And to this very day, my old childhood friend and I still shudder when we talk about it. Thank you. What do you think it was, Carol?
Well, being a kid who lived in a house just like that, because that used to happen to us.
Sure.
But, they saw it disappear through a wall.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't an intruder, let's just say that.
And what would be more unsettling, or I guess more settling is what I'm trying to say, what would you rather have happened? Would you rather have had it be an intruder, or would you rather have had it been a ghost that went right through a wall?
I think I'd take the ghost.
Yeah.
When it's two young girls playing in the basement by themselves. You know, because
sure.
You don't want them to get hurt, but then a ghost could traumatize you quite severely.
Yeah, it's like pick your trauma almost. Choose your own trauma adventure.
And why can't there be just like a puppy ghost or something that would be like, hey, here, and not scare them?
That's not this episode.
Yeah. When's the puppy ghost episode?
Sometimes we do have the puppy ghost episode, but sometimes it's just not that. But I don't know.
That was the only time they'd ever experienced that. Just the one time. She said some other things had happened.
Yeah. I'm waiting for
But it's interesting that would happen like to that extent, that hear the door open upstairs, coming down the stairs, then they see it. Like it just seems to me that wouldn't be just a one off, you know? Like, the ghost is like, hey, I think I'll make myself known today.
Did you ever have friends over when you were a kid at the house with the ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just wondering if one day we're ever going to get some random letter in here. And it's going to be like recounting the same area, the same sort of house, the same sort of kids.
I would love if Brenda Jessup would ever write in or call in. Because she was the one who told me that she saw it from her house mm-hmm. in my bedroom.
Okay.
When we were gone. Yeah. So that'd be really cool to talk to her. Because she knew it was haunted.
It would be neat if just at random a letter came through and you're like, wait a second, that was my house.
That's Brenda Jessup.
Yeah. I could see that happening. And I could see actually sometimes with the amount of stories that have come in where people reference a house and then they moved out of. I have no way of knowing this, but after going through probably tens of thousands of stories at this point, we've probably talked about the same house more than once without even really knowing it, just because of people coming and going. People don't tend to stay in a lot of these homes for all that long of a period of time.
No, and we were in our haunted house for 6 years, which is a really long time.
Sure.
When you're a kid living in a house like that.
Yeah. No.
Ours was in Elma, Nebraska. If anybody's got an idea about what house it was, let us know.
Just in case. It'd be great.
I'd love to hear your stories.
855-853-4802 is our number. Let's jump over to our next story. It says, hi, I've been listening to your podcast for about a month now and listening to other people's stories have made me want to tell my own. Getting it off their chest has seemed to help some of those that have called and written in, and I think it's wonderful that there's a way people can do that. I should probably give some backstory before I get into my experience. I've lived in the same house in Tampa all my life. I'm 23 at the time of writing this. My parents have been living in this house since the 1970s, but the house was built in the 1940s. I don't know if anything wrong has ever happened here, but if so, it's never been brought up. I'm no stranger to strange things either. I've been able to see things on occasion, but I'm mostly able to hear and feel when something is around. I've heard that on the show is being sensitive. I guess that would fit. The experience I want to write in about is one that's changed the way things are in my house. My parents aren't aware of it, and my mom doesn't believe me, but there's something with the mirrors. When I was around 8 or 9, I think my grandmother moved in with one of my uncles, which resulted in me being gifted a mirror and a piano. I was always attached to that piano, even as a baby, and it's like a little sanctuary, sitting and playing it. The mirror was a different story. It is an old, full-body standing mirror with filigree around it, and no one listened to me when I said I didn't want it. Again, my mom put it in front of my bed, right in front of where I sleep. I didn't do a lot of sleeping after that. At night, I'd be tucked in, and after my parents left, something would appear in the mirror. It was a man. But it was black and featureless and would sit next to me on the bed in the mirror and only in the mirror. I could hear it, though. I don't think he meant to be scary, but he and the mirror have two separate feels to them. He'd tell me his own bedtime fairy tales, the old original explicit ones that didn't have happy endings. Safe to say, I started sneaking into my parents' room to sleep. It took months, but I finally convinced my mom to move the mirror into my closet. The man didn't go away, but he let me sleep, and eventually called him Jack. He liked it. Since this mirror, though, other things have popped up in other mirrors. The worst is in my parents' room. I've gotten more feeling in the house as well over the years, and while not a lot has tried to harm me, it's still unsettling. I've had friends come over and tell me how they get bad feelings from my closet where the mirror is. However, those are stories for another time. I hope this isn't long. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. I hope to become an EPP soon as well. Best wishes. Brandy in Tampa, Florida. Mirrors. Have we talked about mirrors, you and me?
Actually, when my sister and I did the podcast together with you, we did talk about mirrors.
We did.
And the house that I lived in as a kid, it was really hard to look in the mirrors because I was really always freaked out that someone was there. And if I looked in the mirror, I would see it. And I didn't want to see it.
Now, why did you have that feeling? Was there a conditioning? Did something ever happen, or was it just like overwhelming emotion, or was there a suggestion?
It was almost just like that weird feeling, like, I don't know, that you get like that sense that there's someone standing next to you and you turn around and there that person is.
Sure.
That kind of feeling. You can feel someone physically before you see them.
Okay.
Sometimes. And that was the feeling it was. And especially a creepy mirror that's filigreed around it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no kid wants that in a room anyway. But especially one that comes with a creepy guy.
Not exactly the best decor for the children's room with a creepy old mirror. Why is it? I mean, I ask this question a lot, and I don't really quite understand. Is there some, do mirrors hold energy? What is it with mirrors, other than the fact that they're a reflection of everything, you know, in front of it? But what is it that that you know, causes this fear about them, or unless, you know, obviously when you see somebody else in it, sure. But if nothing is happening, why is it that object? What is it with mirrors?
Well, I think because it gives you that other dimension where you can't, you don't have eyes in the back of your head, but a mirror gives you that.
Sure.
And so you feel like there might be something there, and then you look up in the mirror and it could confirm it for you.
Okay.
Which you really don't want it confirmed.
Yeah.
Which is, because it's a bad feeling anyway, let alone when you see something.
Yeah.
So I totally get the mirror thing.
Yeah.
I saw a mirror yesterday, and it's in the Chicago Art Institute, and I was there, and there's this one mirror, and there's something about the mirror. And every time I go there, I always have to stop and look at that mirror, because it's like, something with this mirror. I don't know what, but I did it yesterday. I stopped at that mirror again.
Is it part of an exhibit, or is it just
okay. Yeah, it's a piece of art in the Art Institute.
It's like women's
restroom.
It has this
little mirror in it. It's like a fishbowl mirror, so you can see all kinds of weird things in it.
Interesting. I always find it interesting. I always loved the mirrors in like dressing rooms, or in the, like in the 80s, when you go into the department store and try and close, where they'd have like the three or four of them all kind of at an angle, and you could see like every angle, and just it would go on infinitely. That always I thought was really cool.
Well, and then when you get to be a woman of a certain age, mirrors just aren't your friends. That kind of mirror that you're describing,
it becomes an enemy for a whole other reason.
I just wanted a cute pair of shorts. I see every flaw on my body.
No, I'm traumatized.
So yeah, mirrors have a lot of power.
That's true. That's true. 855-853-4802 is our number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Rachel. I'm calling from Northern Virginia, D.C. area. So I have a few ghost stories that I could share. Let me start off by saying I'm not an ECP member yet, but I just moved in with my boyfriend, so once I get settled, I'm planning on becoming one. Love your show. I will also say that, unfortunately, I from my loved ones in this area, in the paranormal realm. My boyfriend's not really a believer. My best friend, for some reason, he used to be a believer, and now he's really not, or at least he says he's not. So it's good to kind of get this off my chest. I will say that my sister, who is involved in the story I'm about to tell, she is a very big support for me. She's never seen anything, but she's felt things. So my story starts off, I'm a nurse. I got my first job at in Morgantown, West Virginia. For all of you Mountaineers, that's where West Virginia University is. I got a job at one of the hospitals there. And on my way home from work, I would drive past this little graveyard. It's right off the exit. It's not the Cheat Lake exit on 68. For all of you guys that are familiar with that exit, or that interstate, I believe it's number 7, 5, 6, or 7. It's not, it's past Saberton. I don't know which exit it is, though, specifically. Anywho, there is a cemetery. It's very small. It doesn't have a name, as far as I'm aware. It's just kind of like a little teeny tiny cemetery. There's no church around it. It's just by itself, so I don't know if it's like a family cemetery or not, but anyway. So I drove past the cemetery every day on my, you know, my way home to work. If I drove past it when the sun was starting to go down, I always saw a shadow person. standing on top of the same grave, and he would just stare at me. I was like, okay, that's pretty creepy. You stay there. I'm not going to bother you. We locked eyes a couple of times, but that was about it. My sister eventually came to visit, and like I said, she's never seen anything before. We went out to dinner. I had told her previously about my experience, but when she came, we weren't even thinking about it. And then as we're driving home from dinner, we're about to drive past the cemetery, and I feel this, just, it's like someone dumped a bucket of ice water over my head. The hairs on my arms stood up, and I said, Becky, we're about to pass the cemetery, and I think something is going to happen. She got really freaked out. She was like, please don't tell me. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. So as we're getting ready to pass the cemetery, I'm like, okay, he's not standing there. But then I notice that he's actually crouched and peeking out behind one of the gravestones, and it's not the typical gravestone that he stood by, which I thought was kind of odd. I don't know if it's because my sister was there, but he was peeking around almost like he didn't want to be seen or appear like he didn't want to be seen. So I shouted, I was like, oh my God, there it is. Do you see it? Do you see it? Because like I said, she's never seen anything. She's felt things. Her face just drained of color. And she said, oh my God, yes. And as soon as she said that, the shadow person jumped up and just darted. I've never seen anything move so fast. It darted for the grave that it usually stood on. So I'm assuming that's the grave that typically comes out of. And it disappeared. As it did like a swan dive, and it just disappeared. We got home. We were freaked out. We watched some funny TV shows and went to bed. So after this event occurred, I started having really bad luck. I got very, very sick. I ended up losing 40 pounds over the course of about 3 to 4 months. I just couldn't eat. I got very, very nauseous, a lot of pain in my abdomen, just very sick. And no one could really figure out what was wrong with me. So anyway, I went to every doctor. They couldn't, some of the doctors thought I was making it up, which I've had other medical problems where doctors have thought that. So I don't know if it's physically, if the paranormal has physically affected me or not. I think it has, but that's more stories as for a later time. So anyway, I was convinced I was cursed. So my sister put me in contact with one of her childhood friends who's a Wiccan. I told her what was going on. She said, no, I don't think you're cursed. She was like, I'm not trying to downplay, you know, the bad things that are happening, but they would be much, much worse if you were cursed. Like my cars would be breaking down and things like that. But she gave me some options. She told me to go out and buy some quartz. And I think she said that they were also these little stones. I think they're called Cherokee tears. She said they're very rare, but they're supposed to be like tar water for entities. Like nothing can get through them. And you put them in the four corners of your house. If anybody else has heard of this, please chime in and let me know. But I couldn't find any of that, but I got some quartz, and that made me feel a little better. So fast forward a few months, my job ended up not working out, so I applied for a job down in Northern Virginia, which is where I am now. But to do the job interview, I had to obviously come down here, and I stayed with my best friend that I've known since basically 2009, fall of 2009, and we've been best friends ever since. He's like a big brother to me. His family is basically, they're kind of like my family. They'll call me and ask me for medical advice, but I'm like, I'm a nurse, not a doctor. Please go see a doctor. But anyway, sorry, I'm rambling. So I went to stay at his house, and this is the same friend that used to believe but doesn't anymore. So as we're getting ready to go to bed, I will say that this friend does like to play tricks on me and likes to tease me and scare me a little bit, kind of like an older brother would. So I was getting ready to fall asleep, and I was on the couch, and his bed was about, I don't know, like maybe 15 feet away, and I heard this shuffling across the floor, and the way he walks, he does shuffle a little bit, because he walks on the balls of his feet, and he'll shuffle. So I swore it was him, and I heard him coming around the back of the couch, and I thought he was going to put his hand on the back of the couch and, like, put his head over and go, ah, and, you know, scare me. So I, you know, without even opening my eyes, I just said, Anthony, if you are coming over here to scare me, don't even think about it. I was like, I know you think it's funny, but I have an interview tomorrow. Don't do it. I heard him from his bed, and he was like, what are you talking about? I said, you didn't just come over here and try and scare me? And he was like, no, I've been in the bed the whole time. And I said, okay, so where's Ollie? Now, Ollie is a Boston Terrier pug mix, so you can kind of tell when he's coming. He snorts all the time. And you can hear his claws clack against the tile. So, but I was trying to think of all rational explanations for the noise that I heard. And he said, no, Ollie's been here the entire time with me. And I was like, okay, that's a little creepy. And then I got this feeling of overwhelming dread. I couldn't explain it. It wasn't necessarily like associated with what happened. It was like a sense of impending doom. Like something was going to happen to me eventually, but not at that point, if that makes sense. So I wake up the next morning. I'm still feeling a little uneasy, but again, I have an interview that day, so I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's related to that. So I got up, I got ready to go, and this feeling was still nagging at me, so I remember telling him, I said, Anthony, if something weird happens to me today, I think it's whatever visited me last night. And he was like, you're just, you know, you're nervous. He kind of downplayed it. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. So I'm driving to my interview, and I'm driving through a wooded area, and there's kind of a lot of turns and things like that, houses on the side of the road and things like that, trees, not typically what you would think of the D.C. area. So anyway, I'm driving through, and I take this sharp right turn. And as I'm taking this turn, on the corner, right in front of me, on the other side of the road, was the shadow person. He looked straight at me, and this all happened in a matter of seconds. I became transfixed on him. I couldn't take my eyes off of him, even though I was driving, and I kept telling myself, stop looking at him, stop looking at him. You need to watch the road. I just couldn't do it. He slowly lifted his left arm and pointed to his left. And then all of a sudden, he whipped his head around towards the left where my car was headed. And I looked straight ahead. I was heading for a deep ditch. I tried to stop. It kind of all meshed together. I don't know if my brakes really worked or not, but I went straight into this ditch. The airbags didn't deploy, which surprised me greatly because I hit it pretty hard. I was only injured because I banged my knees up against the dashboard or underneath the dashboard, and then I kind of smacked my chest into the steering wheel. I got out of the car. I was sobbing. I was terrified. One, I had because of what I had just seen, and two, because I had gotten into an accident. I called my best friend, and my best friend came, and I said, do you remember what I told you? He completely ignored the subject. He was like, Rachel, I think you're kind of, he didn't say making this up, but he's like, I think you're trying to cope with what happened. You know, maybe your brain imagined that. And I was like, no, because I saw it before the accident. I would not have gotten into the accident had I not seen this thing. So I was freaked out, but I eventually did make it to the interview and I got the job. Ever since then, I have not seen the shadow person. I have had other experiences with some other entities that have terrified me greatly, but this was the most horrifying experience that I've ever dealt with. Whenever I saw this shadow person, I never felt anything good from it. I know that there have been several calls saying that maybe shadow people are, you know, from another dimension and we're seeing them and they're, I think that this was different. I don't know if this was a real shadow person. I don't know what its intentions were, but I felt like it was out to hurt me. After I quit seeing it, my stomach problems, I still have some lingering ones from when I was sick. But my stomach problems weren't as bad. I don't know if its end game was to cause me to crash because I didn't, I don't know if it was trying to kill me. I don't know. I would love your all's opinion on what you guys think. But I will call in another time and share some of my other stories. But I would love your insight on this. It was a terrifying experience. And, I mean, I haven't heard another call about a shadow person causing a car crash. But if anyone else out there has experienced this, I'd love to hear some more stories about this because I had to tell my parents. We paid for it out of pocket. We didn't send in a claim to the insurance because, you know, who's going to believe a paranormal entity made me crash my car? And who knows? Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was, I don't know, if that was a way for me to cope with me getting into an accident, and I imagined it after the fact. But something tells me, no, that's what it was. Like I said, I don't have a lot of support when it comes to this kind of thing. So I told most people that I swerved to miss a dog that ran out into the road, which I hated lying about, but it was better than telling people that a black paranormal entity made me crash my car. So tell me what you guys think. Was he warning me? Did he make me crash my car? You know, what do you guys think? I would love your input. Like I said, I'm planning on becoming an APP member, and I will call in again for more stories. Thanks for listening.
Paranormal entity make you crash your car into a tree? Yep, we've seen that. Farmers Insurance, August 42. It just seems like it's a great premise for a new Farmers Insurance commercial, doesn't it?
Right, but I loved her telling people it was a dog that she swerved to miss. I'm like, I get that. Because the entity thing, that just invites a lot of questions.
It does. It does. And I totally get it. I mean, not many people are going to be like, oh, of course, that's what it was. And I believe that's what happened and what she saw. But yeah, I can imagine that'd be a difficult one for the insurance phone call of what. Why?
But the Farmers Insurance would be perfect. She should reach out and give them that. But they didn't report it, I guess. So yeah. Farmers Insurance couldn't take responsibility for paying.
Yeah. It's like, yep, we've seen that. And then you probably get a lot of people saying, oh, it was a ghost that made me crash my car.
But we covered that.
Not just swerve for like a squirrel or something. I'm like, no, it was a shadow person right over there. It wasn't a squirrel. I was, yeah, I could totally see that. But I mean, I get it. Unfortunately, that I bet there's more accidents than we're aware of that are caused by things that people are just really kind of afraid to share of why they did what they did.
But do you think that maybe it was warning her and it like, whatever it is, did it in the wrong way.
Sure.
We can agree on that.
Yeah.
But like, have you ever had that feeling like something's going to happen and then it does? Mm-hmm. Right? So maybe that was like that warning system. This is going to happen. And it did. I don't know. Maybe it was trying to warn her, but she got so fixated on it. I would look at it that way because the last thing I want is some dark shadow person following me around.
Yeah.
So I would have to think of another less mean, evil thing happen to me.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, I'm someone, I personally, I'll always feel something is going to happen bad because that's just how I am. But then like very rarely does it ever happen. But I do get that feeling quite often, but I can't usually act on it. But it makes me wonder with things like this where, yes, she got into an accident and all that. But sometimes, you know, I've had so many times in life, you know, I'm sure you have too, where like you're out driving and had you not, you know, stopped to pick up that you know, extra piece of paper that was blowing around your yard and then got into your car and drove away. Had you just gotten in the car and said, screw it to the paper, your timing would have been so, you know, off just that to that point where you would have been hit by something. Or, you know, and it, thank God something mundane happened that changed that timing. It makes me wonder if sometimes, you know, when things like this happen, even though there was an accident involved, did it prevent something from far worse from happening? Was it just, you know, kind of going back to the universe going, nope, not your time. And, because that distraction didn't work, this distraction didn't work. Now we're going to pull out all stops, and we're going to have to throw Shadow Man at you to make you slow down, because otherwise this something worse is going to happen that's not planned for you to be have happening right now. And it makes you...
And I get that feeling. You know the feeling that something's protecting you versus something that's scaring you.
Yeah.
But I also, that would be tough to live with. Something that would scare you to the extent that you would wreck your car. So you could die.
Sure, sure. You certainly could. And but maybe it's just one of those things where it knows it's not going to be that bad, but it's enough that will prevent you from getting or going or whatever the timing may be.
I think like all of her health issues, I think that's totally separate.
Yeah.
Because, and she's in the health profession, mm-hmm. but man, it is not like an episode of Grey's Anatomy. I know for a fact.
Is that you're still
you can
on?
Have something wrong and nobody cares to really get all the information. They're just like, here, take this. Even though it could cause stroke and diarrhea and everything else.
Just take it. It'll make you better. Ignore all the disclaimers.
Yeah, so I think that's probably separate.
Is Grey's Anatomy still a television show? Is that still on?
Yeah, it wasn't very good last season anyway.
Wow.
It's still on.
The doctor what he referred to was Mick, was it Mick Dreamy? Was that what everybody called him?
Yes, and he's dead. Car accident.
Has he come back as a ghost on the show ever?
I don't think so.
That'd be the great finale. He comes back as a zombie or something, and he like infests the hospital. Everyone dies. Show's over, and it's like it turns out that Grey's Anatomy was a prequel to The Walking Dead, and that's what it all was.
Oh, but if we could get Dr. McDreamy back just for one episode, it would be so worth it.
And on that note, that will wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We cannot do it without you. If you're not in the EPP yet, sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. Get access to all 200-some bonus episodes just waiting to be downloaded and binged upon around the campfires this summer. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.